Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Meredith Locker. Hey, I'm, you know, we've been doing all this controversial stuff, and Meredith says she wants to talk about that a little bit, but we'll get to that. We kind of stirred up some stuff, you know, made a couple people angry. Well, we knew this was going to happen. We're just putting out our opinion, and like I said, you know, in the podcast that where we got into the controversial stuff, which we're going to do again when I have L. Ron back. We got like about 40 different topics we're going to go through and give you our opinion. But right now, I got Meredith. Let me tell you about Meredith. Meredith is just a wonderful human being. You know, I didn't even realize how much I missed her until I saw her again today. She's sweet. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's got a master's degree in psychology. Her clients love her. If you're in the Los Angeles area and you want to do some hypnotherapy work, some hypnosis work, you better call Meredith because you're going to get results and you're going to love her. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing so great. Happy to be back, Cal.
Hey, I'm all choked up.
Yeah, Cal's going to be a little choked up in this episode, maybe. He's got a little bit of a tickle in his throat, so we'll see how well it goes. But yeah, you guys sure have been stirring it up, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it was downright irritating, huh?
For a lot of people, it's the most comments I've seen in a long time.
Oh, man. Do you want to put your two cents in on anything?
Yeah, I do. But first, I want to make sure everybody knows who you are. So Cal Banyan, oh my gosh, he is the one who trains the top 1% of the profession. He trains the trainers. He trains the best of the best. And he's the one that created 5PATH, the one-on-one process that I use with every client I work with, no matter what they come in for. He is the one that brought to us 7th Path self-hypnosis that I also teach any of my clients who have any kind of a spiritual belief of any sort. And, you know, he's the author of some books and tons of articles, and he brings us these free, informative podcasts week in and week out, and I am just such an honored person to be a part of this. So, there's Cal.
Oh, we're just so happy to have, to be associated with good quality people like you. Hey, this is kind of love fest, isn't it?
It is a love fest. Oh, I like love.
Yeah, distance makes our heart grow fonder.
I'm much more about, like, let's build good stuff together. And so, you know, I don't know if you guys have figured this out yet, but it's L. Ron who's taken on all these controversial podcasts, and I'm kind of sticking to more of the answering questions and educational podcasts. And there's really no mistake in that, and that's a personal choice, because controversy isn't something that really gets me going. It's something that I personally have a belief kind of tears things down, and certainly that's controversial in and of itself. But I have watched these podcasts, and of course I have opinions on all of these different issues that were discussed. But just to show you where I'm coming from, the thing that upset me the most was L. Ron's comment about hitting the deer, and sorry it got up, and I know he was joking. I hope he was joking about that. But and if we do need hypnopolice, I hope I can be involved in designing their outfits, their uniforms. I mean, I'm all about that. What do you think, Cal?
You know... That would be, go ahead and give me some sketches and I'll let you know. There was a lot of tongue-in-cheek and kidding around. I think people took it a little bit too seriously sometimes. Sometimes we just have fun with the topics, or I have fun with L. Ron. Like sometimes I'll just say, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention, or I was, and it makes him go through it all over again. But, we got to jib and jibe here a little bit.
Yeah, it's true. And one of the things that people love most about the shows with L. Ron is that, you know, he is funny. And, you know, that's a little bit of the challenge for him to bring controversial topics to you. It's in his nature, you know, to make jokes here and there. And so certainly some of these comments need to be taken the way they're meant, lightheartedly. They're not all made to be heavy. And really, these podcasts are about kind of getting people to understand where they do stand on these issues and getting people to start thinking about things. And, you know, as we do move into the future, which we do, and change is inevitable, I mean, everything changes or it dies, you know, we are going to have to look seriously if we care about our profession and care about continuing in the way that we are now. We're going to have to look seriously at some of these things. And it's certainly a benefit that you're offering to a lot of people out there to help them to become clear on what they really think. Because no doubt, the vast majority of people out there practicing haven't really given a lot of thought to all of these issues. Maybe some of them, and maybe they didn't realize what opinion they had until they heard you guys talk about it. But certainly, it's helping people to align with their belief, and I think that that's important. Do you have anything to say about that, Cal, before I keep going?
Just keep on going. I'm enjoying it.
I'm going to keep on going. So here's where I'm coming from. I believe that we're in a beautiful profession that is not broken. I believe that every profession has those who are not quite living up to the standards that the rest would like. And I think that that doesn't matter whether they're licensed or not. I mean, I know a lot of licensed professions where there are a lot of people within that profession that are not representing the profession all that well. So I don't know that licensure is any sort of an answer.
How about psych evals?
I absolutely disagree with the idea of psych evals. Yeah. No, thank you. But Cal, if you want one, I'm happy to give you one. I was trained in doing psych evals.
Me too. Let's both psych evaluate me. That would be fun.
That would be fun. And we'll go over the results in a podcast. I think people would tune in for that.
I want a Minnesota multifaceted personality inventory.
Yes. Perfect. Let's do it. I think I still have all those materials from school. But yeah, I don't believe in that. I really don't think that that's necessary. And I think that when you get too hung up on the very, very, very few that aren't quite doing it right, or maybe don't have the full capacity to do what, you know, you or I or L. Ron or a lot of, you know, hundreds of thousands of other hypnotherapists out there are doing every day. I think that there are people who need people who aren't functioning fully. There are people who aren't functioning fully out there who need people who are not functioning fully. And I really believe that like attracts like. And I think that the universe does, just to get a little universal there, the universe does send people, that are a match to the hypnotherapist and their skills and their level and all of that. And so I think ultimately it ends up sorting itself out. And the ones who really shouldn't be in the profession, they end up not making it. Because in truth, you know, the consumer, the client is not stupid. You know, soon enough of them are going to get the idea that this person doesn't really know how to help them, because they're not going to see the results and they're going to stop coming. And, I really don't want anybody to think that this very rare person represents a whole entire profession. It's just not true. There are so many of us that really care about what we do. Most of us that are doing this work are in it because we care so much about what we do. And we are watching podcasts and we are going through the Banyan Online Supervision Series and really knowing it and going through it with a fine-tooth comb. We are taking workshops on our own time and talking in different groups and, you know, working with other colleagues to learn things. Most of us are really doing a great job. And I just kind of wanted to put that out there. I am an education girl. I'm all for education. I absolutely would love it if I could get a doctorate in hypnosis, in hypnotherapy, or some sort of a minor like you discussed. I just come from a family of educators, and that's in my blood, and so I would love that. Are there cons against that? Certainly. There's certainly reasons why that wouldn't be a good idea, and certainly that would cut some great people out of the profession for financial and other reasons. But I'll tell you, if there's something like that, there'll be student loans, and a lot of people who can't afford med school go to med school anyway. A lot of people who can't afford psychology master's or doctoral programs go through it and get student loans. And so where there's a will, there's a way, and it would work out. As far as I'm concerned, the best way that we can help our profession is to get the truth about hypnosis out there, to spread the word, to do interviews, to write articles, to get stuff up on the internet, to talk to groups, to explain what hypnosis really is, and to dispel the misperceptions, and in doing so, we help to teach clients that, you know, so that they have the awareness, they have the information they need so that they can make an accurate decision when they're choosing a hypnotherapist, and they have enough fuel for their quest to be able to choose one that is properly trained, educated, and really their heart is in the right place. Make sense, Cal?
Yes. Let me say something in L. Ron's behalf, because I think why he was so critical of some professionals is, see, he is a one percenter. And he hangs around with one percenters. And when you get around someone that is just the normal kind of skill, it's very possible to, you really recognize the difference between what my friend Edward Wunder calls scriptnotists and someone who's, you know, able to do age regression, forgiveness work, and parts work, and all this really good stuff. And I think Elron was a little bit kind of hard on those people. He wasn't talking about people are, you know, you know, not good at all. I just think he's got very low tolerance for mediocrity.
Yeah, and I get that, and I am right there with him in that sense. But as far as I'm concerned, the only person that I need to be concerned about whether there's mediocrity or, the best of the best is me. And so it just has to start with each of us. Each of us have to decide, you know, what our level of acceptability is, and we need to strive to reach that. I believe we're only in competition with ourselves. And so I'd rather us focus on ourselves, put all of the energy towards bettering ourselves to the level that we want. Some people get great results from scriptnotists. It's not me. It's not the type of hypnosis I do or I want to do, but I do know there are people who, for whatever reason, are unwilling to go through Five Path. It's too hard, or they are so against any kind of emotion or feeling any kind of emotion, and will just kind of scram before you get a chance to really show them the results they can experience, and that it's not all that scary. And you know, if they can get some results with a scriptnotist instead of doing nothing, I would rather them do something than nothing. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot to talk about here, and we could certainly go on and on and on. And by no means do I disagree entirely with everything that L. Ron said, but I just think it has to start with us. And he is doing that. He is being the best of the best and always striving to be better. And I know he'll keep doing that. But I believe that when we fight against things, we just make the problem worse instead of creating a solution. So that's my soapbox.
Well, there you have it. Meredith becomes controversial. She didn't want to, but we got her controversial. Now I'm going to ask you one more question, Meredith.
Yes.
What do you think of those wascally stage hypnotists?
You know what? I think that life is supposed to be fun. I think that stage hypnosis is fun. And, I think that just like with traditional hypnotherapy, not everybody is doing it in the 1% range. And certainly some stage hypnotists are not teaching people. They're not using their platform to teach people about what hypnosis really is and to teach them the difference between stage hypnosis and traditional one-on-one hypnosis. But some are. And I think there are a great deal of people who are out there who do both. Who have a private practice and then who also do stage shows. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I do think that they have a level of responsibility because they do have a platform to share the details about hypnosis. They have that opportunity that a lot of us may not create for ourselves. But I do know that I do, in my one-on-one work, deal with some of the misperceptions that they perpetuate on a regular basis. It's okay, though. I know going in that those shows, if they weren't handled, appropriately, and if the audience wasn't taught properly about what hypnosis is and isn't, that those people who know about that are going to come in with misperceptions. But as far as I'm concerned, every client that comes in is going to come in with misperceptions about hypnosis, and my job is to clear that slate as much as I can, to prepare them, and I do that right from the outset, and sometimes even ongoing if more misperceptions pop up along the way. So as far as I'm concerned, I turn it back onto me. I take responsibility for that, and I make darn sure that every single client I work with is prepared properly, no matter where they got their misperceptions from.
There you go. All right. Hey, well, thanks a lot for giving us your 200 cents worth.
You're welcome.
Hey, did you hear about the problem they had in Florida with some legal stuff?
I sure did. I've been following all of that, and I'm so happy it seems to have come to a positive resolution. At least that's where I saw that it was last left.
That's right. It just broke down to some communication, and the National Guild of Hypnotists got right on that, and I believe they were supported in that for the National Health Freedom Action or National Health Freedom Coalition. There's two names for that, and who are out there trying to help people continue to have the right to choose the services they want. And one of those services is hypnosis. But my hat's off to Reverend Dr. Scott Giles and to Dr. Damon and everyone else who is working behind the scenes to get... In a nutshell, can you kind of summarize what was going on with that? Are you able to do that?
Well, essentially, what was happening was they were trying to change, in Florida, they were trying to change some legal statute that they felt was no longer necessary. And it, in doing so, without realizing it or meaning to, what they were going to do was create a problem for hypnosis professionals in that they were no longer going to be able to practice without licensure. Is that correct?
Yes. It just so happened that over the years, the laws pertaining to the practice of hypnosis in Florida have become so convoluted that when someone tried to actually help the people in the profession, it wound up hurting them. And so Representative Diaz, I think, once he was informed of the ramifications of what he was trying to do, gladly withdrew the change that he was proposing.
Yes. And so they probably do need to make some changes, but maybe he needs to look at going through it with a little bit more of a fine-tooth comb and proposing legislation that's a little bit more beneficial to all parties involved. Obviously, they would not have known that it was going to be a big problem if all of these voices weren't heard and people didn't come forward and contact that representative. And so it's a pretty impressive kind of a group effort there that took place on the part of the coalition, as well as a lot of other individuals who let their voice be heard and then made change happen. So, or stopped bad change from happening is really more what happened. So, yeah, it's great. And I think it makes us become more aware of our own states and where the laws stand there, and making sure to join, the Health Freedom Coalition and different organizations like this that help to pay attention, because we may not have known about it if it weren't for these bodies like the National Guild of Hypnotists and the coalition paying attention for us so that we can step up when the time comes to have our voices be heard.
Great. And this gives a good chance for me to plug the union. You guys out there, something like this happens and you need to be able to respond instantly. And if there's not enough members in your state, then the union's not going to be able to act on your behalf. Now, the name of the union, I got it right here in front of me, is the National Federation of Hypnotists, OPEIU, Local 104. And it's a graphic that I'm reading from. It's not real clear. AFL-CIO and CLC. And so go to the National Guild of Hypnotists website, that's ngh.net, and on there they'll have a link for the union. This is one of those things, it's like practice insurance. We need to have plenty of people in each state. This is not a union like going on strike against some company or something like that. It is a union of professionals, this local 104 of hypnotists, that we can react, and with people who know how to stand up for our rights to practice. So join the union. That's it. All right. Where are we at now? Are we ready to go on to our topic?
We are ready for our topic, and I am so excited that you're covering this topic today. It's really wonderful, and we are going to get into, should I tell them or do you want to?
Tell them.
Okay, the time tunneling technique.
Yeah.
And the TTT, if you will. And this is something that Cal is going to be covering at the upcoming Solid Gold weekend. Are the dates, do I have them right in my head, the 26th and the 27th of February?
That's correct. So this podcast will be released the Friday before. If I have my numbers right, this should be around 2/11. I'm looking at my calendar here on the wall. 2/11, this podcast. And the next podcast, which is on Friday, is the Friday before the Solid Gold weekend in Anaheim. Be there. Elron's going to be there. And Meredith might be there. Right, Meredith?
I might be there, yes.
Meredith has got this. There's someone in her family who's not well. And because of this illness, she doesn't know if she's going to be able to be there. But if, God willing, she will be there. And so if she's not there, I will have a beer in her name. How would that be?
Perfect. Thank you for that. Always looking out for me.
Or a scotch or something.
A scotch. A scotch. I like that better.
You do. Okay. Good. Okay. I think we're ready to rock and roll here. You ready?
We're ready. Let's do it.
Okay. First, one last little thing. March 7th, 2010 begins my next class, the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Hypnotherapy Certification course, become a one percenter. It's the best way to come into the profession or take your profession to the next level and be a better practicer, learn 5-path, 7-path, and all that good stuff. Go to hypnosiscenter.com to find out the details. All right, down with that clipboard, up with this clipboard. Now, next weekend, I'm going, as you're watching this video next weekend, I'm for the very first time going to make public the TTT, or the TT technique. I like the TT technique better, the time tunneling technique. It's it is an age regression technique. It's a variation on the affect bridge technique. I've only taught it in my classes. I've never posted an article on it, and it's only been for, you know, 5-pathers and 7-path teachers to learn it. But at the Solid Gold Weekend, I'm going to talk about the time tunneling technique. And let me give you kind of a brief overview of age regression and how this was developed. And then we're going to get into step by step how we're going to do this. Now, we might have to take do two parts to get this all in. But first, just a quick little overview. Age regression. The reason we do age regression hypnosis is because, you know, everything starts somewhere, and what we can do is use the facility of hypnosis to allow people to not just remember stuff they wouldn't normally remember, but to actually relive it. And this is important because when you relive an event, we can find out what was happening, what they were thinking, and what they were feeling. And when we have that information, we can really adjust the perceptions and how, what they think about it and how they feel about it, which can completely change the cause of the problem, neutralizing it, setting the person up for a case of what I call hyper-suggestibility, and be able to accept suggestions based on the insight that they just had by reliving the event. Okay, so we, first of all, in age regression, we uncover the history and cause of the problem. Now, one of the things I want to recommend, I'll put a link right below. If you're watching this, I forgot to do this. If you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, go there right now, because right below this video is all kinds of links, graphics and text that support this and make the video a lot more valuable to you. So, there's a link down there to podcast number 61, 10 Keys to Client Preparation for Successful Hypnosis. You need to have that background. And also, hypnosis training video podcast number 108, 10 Keys for Successful Age Regression, and age regression work. And I got another one, number 164, age regression work. So let me, some videos you want to go watch if you haven't seen them. Podcast number 61, podcast 108. 61 is about client preparation. 108 is about age regression, and 164 is about age regression. Now,
let me step in real quick, Cal. Number 164 is about age progression.
Oh, is it? Oh, you're right. Thank you. Because I'm going to mention these things, but I'm not going to get into any detail. I'm mainly just going to be detailing how to do the TT technique, the time tunneling technique. Thank you very much, Meredith. Okay, so the idea is we got to, number one, uncover the history of the problem. Number two, find the first event contained that contained the thought or feeling combination and neutralize it. And three, if possible, identify the benefit of the event and cast it in a positive light, providing insight and wisdom. So you've seen this diagram so many times on this website where here's your timeline, right? And say this is now. We go back, follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way. Then we find out if it's new or familiar. We just keep going back until we get to the ISE, initial sensitizing event. Then we bring the wisdom of the adult and the hypnotherapist to that event to challenge what the child, and it's usually before the age of 5, believed and thought and felt about that event. Changing it, neutralizing erroneous emotions. Okay, and then whenever we think it's in the benefit of the client, We will do age progression. After we have neutralized the problem, gone through the events, you've got now, and then you go back, say, three or four events, back to the ISE. We neutralize that event, and then we're probably going to go through at least three, maybe four of the SSEs, the subsequent sensitizing events, and to reinforce the change and to test to make sure the change has been accepted. Boom. And now we're back to now. Many, many clients will benefit from then taking that knowledge and going into some probable future events, some FRUS, right? Future reinforcing events. So we can go to two or three different times in the probable future where they can experience the change. Okay. So that's the age regression in a thumbnail sketch. Anything you want to add to that quick overview, Meredith?
Nope, you're doing great.
Okay. So for years and years and years, I was using affect bridge age regression or symptom bridge age regression or cognitive bridge age regression. And it's really most of the time affect bridge. And affect, for our purposes, you just think of it as the emotion associated with the issue. For example, if you have a fear of flying, you bring up the fear of flying in the person in the session. So there's this feeling you don't like every time you think about going flying, or there's a feeling that has everything to do with why you've come here to see me today. As I count from 1 to 5, it comes up as strong, powerful as ever been. And we get them feeling that feeling good and strong, and we say, now follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way. Well, over the years, I've been doing a lot of work with my seventh path self-hypnosis students and clients. And one of the things I've been doing is working on a completely different technique. Well, it's not a completely different technique. It is a variation on age regression, but it's significantly enough different for us to kind of break it down and talk about it. Now, I'm just going to have time to get into a little bit of this. And then we'll clean it all up in the next episode, okay? So while working with 7 Path students and clients, I developed the time tunneling technique. I found it to be easy, effective, and reliable, and started using it with my 5 Path clients. Again, it appeared to work even better than Affect Bridge. Again, it was easy, effective, and reliable. Now, the reason I believe that TTT, or the TT technique, works better than the usual affect bridges because it causes the client to be more focused on where the feeling or symptom is located in the body. This is because they travel back in time, always in feeling connected to that feeling, tunneling back right through it. So in age regression, we bring up the feeling, you say, follow the feeling back. And it's not so connected to the body. Now, so here comes the beginning of the outline of the procedure. Outline of the TT technique. You need to properly prepare the client. As always, you got to do your pre-talk, all that good stuff. Pre-hypnosis interview, all of that. It's all explained, podcast number 61. Then you either induce hypnosis, deepen, test, and convince, and then do the TT technique, or you can start right off with the time tunneling technique, and it will automatically trigger hypnosis. That's right. It's an age regression technique that will automatically trigger hypnosis. You've heard me talk about the air induction, and I'll make sure that there is a link down below to the AIR induction, affect induced age regression induction. I find that with the time tunneling technique, the affect induced age regression induction is even more reliable, because what we're going to do is we're going to have them identify where they feel the emotion in their body, and then we're going to have them go right into that feeling, tunneling down through it, and giving them a suggestion like, follow that feeling back, go right into it as if it was a tunnel, following it all the way back. Where that tunnel ends, that feeling began. Hey, Meredith, I'm looking at my timer. Do you have a timer going?
I do. We're just about 30 minutes.
I know. I I was hoping we'd get farther into this, but I think we've given everybody something important. I mean, I'm going to get into more detail in the next episode, but the crux of it is you have them identify where the emotion is into their body. And I'm going to give you more exact wording on how to do this in the next episode, but we're going to have them go right, like let's say they have the feeling right there. There they are in hypnosis, and I tell them, focus on that feeling, and we're going to do a number of different techniques I'm going to explain to you in the next episode of how to make it strong and powerful. Then we have them mentally go right into it. Imagine like a tunnel right there, and it goes back to the time it started. All right, I think we just have to stop now. You want to wrap it up for us?
Yeah, so just to clarify for everybody, this time tunnel technique, tunneling technique, what we're getting into here is the use with one-on-one clients in an actual five-path process. And so I think that a lot of you who know five-path have seen Cal, at least in the more recent years, you've seen Cal use this or some variation on it, kind of the farther back you go, kind of the more in the infancy you might have seen it. But you might have seen him in use in the seventh path processing time. And so here we're talking about use in an actual one-on-one session. And so there are some differences there. And of course, we're going to get into a whole lot more about it, a whole lot more detail, a whole lot more about when to use this, why it might be better to use this, how to use it, of course, in more detail than we've already gotten into so far. So a lot more to come, and really looking forward to it. It's good to be back. Thank you all for tuning in. And a special big thanks to Steve Rowe for all of your incessant, amazing, well-thought-out comments. Thank you so much. And everyone else who's been commenting lately, there's so many of you, and it's really, really exciting. We love to see it. Keep doing it. Keep posting them down there at calbanion.com. Keep sending me your questions and comments, Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. You can post at our Hypnospace on the Ask Cal group, and we really look forward to continuing to build this community with you. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
What a wonderful job. I think she said incessant comments. I don't know how to take that. Oh, well, Calbanion.com, hypnosis.org. Go there. There's a whole new version of the site. Just went up last week. Check it out. I think you're going to like it. Cal Banion, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved. For private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.